Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your attendance here this afternoon. This is the opening of the Inner West Local Planning Panel meeting of Tuesday, the 13th of November 2018. And the meeting is opened at 2:27 p.m. We've had a number of sites to visit today, and I'm afraid it took a little bit more time than we had estimated at the beginning. I'd like to commence the meeting with acknowledgement of country, and therefore I acknowledge the Gadigal and the Wangal people of the Eora Nation on whose country we are meeting today, and we acknowledge their elders past and present. We have a number of items on the agenda today. Can I ask the panel members if they have any declarations of interest to make on any of the items?
No.
Okay, and I don't have any either, so there's no declarations of interest. Now, I'd like to introduce the panel so that you have an understanding of the expertise that is brought into the panel to help its assessments and determinations. I'll ask each member to give a brief summary of their experience and qualifications. My name is Kevin Hoffman. I'm an architect and a town planner. I served 14 years as a Commissioner of the Land and Environment Court of New South Wales. Prior to that, I was in private practice in a multidisciplinary architecture, town planning, landscape architecture practice. And prior to that, I was Chief Town Planner of the Wyong Shire, a regional area of New South Wales. Prior to that, I had experience internationally. Since I left the court, I have served on several panels similar to this one. Thank you. On my far left is Kath Roach, who might speak now.
Hello, everyone. Kath Roach, my company is Sing Solutions. I work with a lot of councils across New South Wales as a consultant. In this particular capacity, I'm here as the community representative. My background is original law enforcement with Federal Police, the Ombudsman at Sutherland Shire Council for 5 years, Housing New South Wales, and for about the last 11 or 12 years with a lot of councils and state government entities. And so my role as a community representative is looking and acting in accordance with the planning requirements on this particular panel. Over to you.
Thank you, Kath. And on my immediate left is Ian Stapleton.
Ian Stapleton, I'm a heritage architect of about 40 years' experience with some qualifications in planning law. I sit on a number of other panels, including Waverley and Lane Cove.
Thank you, Ian. And on my right is Lindsay Day.
Good afternoon, everybody. I have qualifications in geography and town and country planning from Sydney University. Probably over 35 years' experience, but we won't nitpick on the number of years. I have my own planning practice, so I have a number of private clients, and I'm also on three panels, this one, Lane Cove and Bayside.
Thank you, Lindsay. Now, just for the understanding of the people attending today, I'd like to run through the general procedures so that you understand how the meeting runs. The meeting is being recorded, and speakers should be aware of that in making their presentations. Speakers should be careful not to use offensive language or give offence to others, whether they're present at the meeting or not. The items on the agenda will be dealt with in the order on the agenda unless the chair or the panel receives a request and agrees to change the order. Speakers on the various items are registered with the council administration, and additional speakers will not be allowed. When each item has its turn, the chair will invite each registered speaker in turn to come to the speaker's table, which is at the end of this U-shaped setting, and sit at the microphone. The microphone has a button that must be pressed to activate recording, and a light on the microphone will show if it's operating. Speakers are usually given 3 minutes to make their presentation, and at the end of that time a chime or a bell will ring. The chair may allow more time. Speakers are encouraged not to repeat points already made by others unless a contrary opinion is to be presented. The panel may wish to ask questions of any speaker, and time for that is allowed after the 3 minute presentation. Those attending here today should be aware that from last week the panel has had the council officers' reports and the plans and a summary of the submissions to read. And then today the panel has visited the site of each item on the agenda. And for those persons who've made a submission and requested a particular visit, the panel has been shown their concerns. The panel will, in usual circumstances, make a decision today on each item on the agenda. Some items may be decided immediately after all speakers on that item. If the panel needs to discuss the reports, the plans and the speaker's submissions on a particular item, the panel may adjourn to the adjoining committee room to have that discussion, but the panel will return before the end of this meeting today with its decision. With those general guides for the smooth running of the meeting, the panel now turns to the first item on the agenda, and that is item 1, D/2018/354, 7 Roos Street, Leichhardt, alterations and additions to an existing dwelling house. Now, I have here the people listed to speak, and I don't see anybody for that item. So the panel has been to the site, as I've said, and we've read the reports. I believe we've probably come to a conclusion, and I believe that that is in accordance with the officer's recommendation. Can I just ask the panel if they're of that opinion?
I agree.
Yes.
Thank you. It seems like it's a unanimous vote in favour of the recommendation. Therefore, the panel's conclusion is the applicant has made a written request pursuant to clause 4.6 in brackets 3 of the local environmental plan in support of the contravention of the development standard for clause 4.3 capital A in brackets 3 in brackets little a, landscaped area for the residential development in zone R1, and clause 4.3 capital A in brackets 3 in brackets little b, site coverage for residential development in zone 3.1. R1. After considering the request and assuming the concurrence of the Secretary has been given, the panel is satisfied that compliance with the standard is unnecessary in the circumstances of this case, and that there are sufficient environmental grounds, and the proposed development will be in the public interest because the exceedance is not inconsistent with the objectives of the standard and of the zone in which the development is to be carried out. Further, that the Inner Western Local Planning Panel, in exercising the functions of the Council as the consent authority pursuant to clause 4.16 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979, grants consent to development application number D/2018/354 for alterations and additions to the existing dwelling house at 7 Roos Street, Leichhardt, New South Wales, 2040, subject to the conditions listed in Attachment A of this decision. As I said, it's a unanimous decision on that matter. And that concludes item 1. I go to item 2, which is item 10.2018.126.1 for 100 Smith Street, Summer Hill, alterations and additions to an existing dwelling. Now, I think Mr. Stapleton is to take the running on that one, and we have nobody listed to speak on that matter either. And I think the council officers have given us a copy of the statement of significance relevant to that area. Mr. Stapleton,
which that's true.
Isn't it? Yeah. Item yeah. 2. I have it. That one there.
Quarantine grounds.
Oh, right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll let you proceed, Mr. Stapleton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This proposal is to demolish part of existing heritage item that's also within a conservation area and to construct a two-level addition at the rear of the property and make certain modifications to the surviving original part of the property. The panel visited the site this morning, and that included an internal inspection. The panel was generally in agreement with the council officer's recommendation to delete the to require the deletion of the two-level. Sorry, the balcony above the accessway, which joined the new and the old section of the building, and to centralise the window facing the courtyard in the new section of the building. The panel took note that the interiors of the building were very intact. And although the part requested to be demolished at the rear was much altered or impossibly partly new or partly not original. However, the panel did notice that the chimney breast and chimney piece in the third room towards the rear was original and is of the mind to require the retention of that original element, being a heritage item, and also to request or require by condition the retention more of the original rear wall of that part of the building. Also, the plans are deficient in not showing the floor construction of the proposed laundry and bathroom in the second room from the front, and accordingly we are proposing to insert a condition that that floor remain timber framed. This would be to prevent the replacement of the floor with a concrete floor. The window also in the second room appears to be made smaller, and it is as an original window we're going to require that to be preserved, and that's easily done because of the configuration of the proposed bathroom. The retention of the chimney breast in the third room may cause planning problems, so we propose to make this approval a deferred commencement approval, so the applicant can come back and decide how they're going to use the rear third room and the new room at the rear. Whether they would possibly swap the uses. In addition, as the building is so intact in the front wing, we propose to include a condition that the applicant is to submit a schedule of materials and finishes to be retained, so council can be sure that the original part of the building is not altered beyond what is shown on the plans. Just Excuse me a second. Accordingly, it's the proposal of the panel to approve this proposal as a deferred commencement. The deferred commencement means that the applicant needs to come back with material specified in the approval prior to commencement and get approval from the council for those revised information prior to the approval becoming operative. The proposed deferred commencement's condition are being shown on the screen. Mr. Chairman, do you wish me to repeat these?
I think it's necessary to read them into the decision, yes.
Very well. Plans to be the deferred commencement conditions are the following amendments are to be made and submitted to council. The original temporary rest and fireplace surround to be retained within room 3. I think we could put in brackets counting from the front. At least 1.2 of the south wall of the original room 3 is to be retained adjacent to the chimney breast. The existing original window in room 2 to be retained. To accommodate the above window, the kitchen may be moved to the proposed lounge room. Floor construction of the original front wing, 3 rooms, I think that should be is to remain timber framed. Final details are to be submitted for approval of council within 2 years. And the second item, a schedule of materials and finishes, both exterior and interior, of the original front wing. We could put in brackets 3 rooms. It's to be submitted and approved by council's heritage specialist.
And then you need to read that. Orders.
According to the decision of the panel supports the findings contained in the assessment report and resolves that the application be approved. As per the recommendations included in that report, subject to the following changes, and then follows the deferred commencement conditions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Now, can the panel vote on that?
Agreed.
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 Thank you. That's a unanimous vote. And I note that in the recommendation that the panel has also supported the clause 4.6 in brackets 3 of the LEP 2013 in support of the contravention of the development standard 4.4 floor space ratio. And after considering the request and assuming the concurrence of the secretary has been given, the panel is satisfied that compliance with the standard is unnecessary in the circumstance of the case and that there are sufficient environmental grounds and that the proposed development will be in the public interest because the exceedance is not inconsistent with the objectives of the standard and of the zone in which the development is to be carried out. Therefore, the Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising the functions of council as a consent authority, pursuant to section 4.16 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979, grants consent to development application number 10.2018.126.1 for alterations and additions to an existing dwelling at 100 Smith Street, Summer Hill, subject to the conditions listed in the attachment A below and subject to the deferred commencement conditions that Mr. Stapleton has already read out and the panel has agreed to. That concludes item 2. So we now go to item three. And item three is DA 10.2018.0000137.001, 23 William Street, Ashfield, Torrens Title Subdivision of existing strata lots. Now, I believe on item three, the officers have also produced for us a copy of the William Street Heritage Statement of Significance. Now, Ms. Day was going to take the running on this matter. Thank you, Ms. Day.
As the Chair said, this is an application for the Torrens Title Subdivision of existing strata lots at 23 William Street, Ashfield. The panel has inspected the site this morning. The application doesn't involve any building works, and the panel has concluded that the proposal generally complies with the aims, objectives, design parameters contained in the Ashfield Local Environmental Plan 2013 and the Comprehensive Inner West Development Control Plan 2016. The proposed development will not result in any significant impacts on the amenity of the adjoining premises, the streetscape, or the neighbourhood. The panel considers that the application is considered suitable for approval as recommended, subject to the imposition of appropriate conditions in the agenda, from page 94. Mm-hmm. In summary, the applicant has made a written request pursuant to clause 4.63 of the LEP in support of the contravention of the development standard 4.1 for minimum subdivision lot size. The panel is satisfied that compliance with this standard is unnecessary in the circumstances of the case and that there are sufficient environmental grounds. The proposed development will be in the public interest because the exceedance is not inconsistent with the objectives of the standard and of the zone in which the development is proposed to be carried out. In conclusion, the Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising the functions of the Council as the consent authority pursuant to Section 80 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979, grant consent to DA 10/2018/137 for Torrens Title Subdivision at 23 William Street, subject to the conditions listed in Attachment A. Do we have unanimous decision on this matter, please?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Day. That concludes item three. And we turn now to item four, which is DA 2018/00051.01. 37 John Street, Petersham. It's a review request made under Section 8.2 of the Environmental Planning Assessment Act to review determination number 2018/00051, dated the 30th of May 2018, to demolish part of the premises and carry out the first and second floor additions and other additions to a dwelling house. Now, the officer's report is included in the agenda, and we had a considerable amount of discussion about the recommendation, which was for refusal of the proposal. I don't have... yes, I do have people listed to speak. I've got an Adrian Chopey, a Ruth Chopey, and a Steve Robertson. Are they present? All right. I'll take them in order. Is Adrian Chopey would like to speak? If you'd come to the table there. Thank you. Now, just say your name for the recording, and you better bring the microphone down, I think, and press the button.
Thank you very much. My name's Adrian Chope. The development application concerns the extension of our current roofline to the rear in order to accommodate an additional bedroom with ensuite bathroom within the existing and additional roof space. It's been refused by Council for three principal reasons: that it exceeds the permitted height, it exceeds the permitted floor space ratio, and there are concerns about the impact on the heritage conservation area. I will let Steve address the height and floor space ratio factors in a moment, but I'd like to talk about the perceived impact on the area from a heritage perspective. We completely support and agree with the idea that the heritage of the area must be preserved and that our house plays an important role in this. What we don't understand or agree with is the assertion that our proposed alterations will negatively impact. Hopefully you will have seen from your site visit this morning that the proposed changes to the southern elevation of our home, which is the only portion visible from the street, will be minimal, whereby the very rear upper portion of the elevation will be raised by approximately 750 millimetres only. And that is the only change that will be visible to pretty much anyone, as far as we can see. Due to the pitch of the roof and the closeness of the next door property, the change to the roof line is almost impossible to see. You can only actually see the roof from a very small and particular area on the opposite side of the street. Our next door neighbours won't be able to see the changes, as the changes are alongside their northern elevation, which doesn't have any windows, and our neighbours to the rear will not be able to see the changes due to the topography of the area and vegetational cover. The view, the back of our house can only be glimpsed between properties on the street behind, so the changes will be virtually invisible from there too. We believe that this all demonstrates the proposed alterations will be all but invisible, and it's therefore quite unreasonable to suggest that they will negatively impact the heritage aspect of the area if they can't be seen. My wife Ruth will talk in a moment about the built form of the heritage conservation area in which our property sits, but I'd like to draw your attention to the property two doors up from ours. As you will have seen this morning, there is considerable development going on at this time, which is very, very visible both from the street and from our garden. We contest that it's manifestly and outrageously unfair that a development such as this be permitted when ours is not, and would add that there was not one submission against RDA, yet there were more than 40 made against the one two doors up. You will also have seen that there have been considerable alterations made to the house adjoining ours, number 39. We believe that by partially mirroring what has been done there, we are restoring some of the balance between the two properties and thereby, if anything, improving the heritage aspect of the area. We would also like it noted that the changes to number 39 have robbed us of any opportunity to install solar panels on our roof, and our proposed alterations will increase our roof's solar exposure and therefore allow us to take this environmentally responsible step in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, don't go away. We might have questions. Are there any questions at this point? Well, take your seat. We might take any questions that arise at the end. Now, we have Ruth Chope. Is it Chope or Chopey?
Chope.
Chope, thank you. Just say your name, thank you.
My name is Ruth Chope. Thank you for allowing me to speak with you today. I will be addressing the Council's comments regarding the streetscape and built form of the Petersham South Heritage Conservation Area and the perceived impact of our proposed development upon it. There are presently nine different architectural styles in the northern end of John Street, ranging from High Victorian, Federation, interwar, and up to and including a brand new development. There is no consistency of built form, and in fact it could be argued that the multiplicity of forms typifies the streetscape of John Street and its surrounds. We wholeheartedly agree with the Council that our house is an important contributory building in the Petersham Heritage Streetscape. We value its form and we enjoy living in a building with such character. However, we would argue that there is capacity within the variety of the streetscape to accommodate the variation in roof form at the rear that we are requesting. Our neighbour immediately to the south on 35 John Street has a pitched roof with a gable to the rear in a similar but shallower form to our proposal. This form is a feature of the building's original design, and we contend that the pitch roof with a gable end is part of the architectural vernacular of John Street. We enjoy getting out in our community. We walk regularly and particularly enjoy observing architecture and heritage of the area. The council's argument that the proposed three-storey form is inconsistent with the streetscape and character of the surrounding streets is not borne out by our observations of the local area. In fact, there are two properties visible from our house that have a similar third-storey window in the gable end to which we propose. One on Denning Street is a contributory building in the HCA in its original form, and the other is a period building on John Street just outside the HCA, which is also predominantly in its original form. In addition to these two properties, there are examples of other contributory buildings within the HCA on Marshall and Shaw Street that present as three storeys. We believe that these examples counter Council's conclusion that our proposed development is inconsistent with the built form and streetscape. We propose that our development is neither inconsistent nor adverse in its contribution to the local area. In addition, we counter Council's conclusion that the proposed development is not in the public interest and would argue that the fact that there were no submissions from our neighbours to our DA indicate that there is no public concern regarding the value or form of our proposed development or any adverse effect on the public interest. Finally, we argue that we are looking to restore the expected harmony and balance with the adjoining semi at 39 John Street. What we are requesting is significantly less prominent than our neighbours' additions, with negligible impact on the form and style of our building, and are invisible from the street. All that will be visible from the rear is the window in the new gable end, which we have already asserted is in keeping with the traditional built form of the area. We've lived in the Inner West for 22 years. We're raising our children here and would dearly like to stay at John Street. Our children attend the local public high school, and living close to school enables us to contribute meaningfully to our local community. In order to stay here close to school, we seek to extend our home to accommodate our growing children so they too can contribute to our local community through their music, participation in local bands and scouts. For these and the above reasons, we respectfully request that you reconsider Council's objection to our proposed development.
Thank you, Mrs. Cho. I think, like your husband, the former speaker, will adjourn any questions till we've heard from the third person, Steve Robertson, who I believe is the builder. Is that right? Thank you, Mr. Robertson. Please state your name.
Thanks very much. Steve Robertson, or Stephen Robertson is my name. I represent, as you can see, Attic Group. We're a design and construct building company. Have been operating in the Inner West, or what is now the Inner West Council area, for about the last 30 years or so. We specialise in upper floor and attic conversion projects. To my knowledge, in that time, we've never had an application, a DA, refused. Or put it this way, we've never had anything that we couldn't work through to find a suitable solution for all parties. The brief in this case was to provide additional accommodation, a bedroom and a bathroom for a growing family, as Ruth has said. And we looked at all the different alternatives, both in terms of architectural design and cost. Obviously, building is a costly business, so we're looking for cost effectiveness in what we do. The plans were prepared by an architect with considerable experience, again, within the Inner West Council area. Plans were prepared in accordance as closely as possible, and I will state that, with the current DCP. There were slight variations to the floor space ratio, and this was addressed in the original application with a request to vary that development standard. There was a very small percentage overrun in that case. An early meeting with the planner, Kevin Smith, Kevin indicated to me that he wasn't terribly concerned with that minor overrun, and that we could approve that, providing we put in the application to vary the standard in accordance with the previous application. Subsequently, we had a review done by a company, Key Urban Planning, which addressed the council issues of the original approval, the original refusal, I should say. The planner, with many years' experience both as a town planner with Hornsby Council and in private practice, was happy to take on the brief. He felt very strongly that that we had a very strong case to argue in terms of having the plans approved. Council did offer, if you like, to consider a couple of alternative proposals. one of which was to use the existing roof space to pop a dormer out and provide some sort of accommodation there. But obviously they didn't really consider the height aspect of that, because the original roof doesn't contain enough height, even with the addition of a dormer, to make that a habitable room. So that was an impractical solution. Secondly, they proposed that we could take the bedroom on the second level, bedroom and a bathroom, and create a new bedroom and bathroom to the rear. But again, that's not a practical option. It's no point in sacrificing a bedroom and a bathroom to get a bedroom and a bathroom if we're going to do a design. Height, if I may, just...
Would
just
you like a little seconds, more time?
Just for 30 Thank seconds, you. If that's okay. The other issue is height. We're not intending to raise the height, the original height of the building. The original ridge line will stay intact. We're extending that that ridge, again, in keeping with the neighbouring property as far as height is concerned, and certainly no higher than the existing dividing parapet wall that's already in place. So, as I say, from a building perspective, we're looking for the best, most efficient, cost-effective solution to having the project done. So hopefully you'll consider all of those costs and all of those factors in your decision. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Now, as I said, the panel has had considerable discussion with this matter, including the report from Key Urban Planning, and council officers did supply a draft set of conditions for approval in the event that the panel didn't accept the recommendation of refusal from the staff report. The staff have also given us a copy of the Peterson South Norwood Estate Heritage Conservation Area HCA 18 to consider. Now, I think, Mr. Stapleton, as the heritage expert, you are going to take the running on this one.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the Chairman has said, we visited the property this morning, including the interiors and the backyard, and had a good look of what can be seen from the backyard and from the street. And in spite of the fact that the council's policies have changed since the neighbours development has been approved, we're inclined to not accept the council officer's recommendation here to refuse this and to approve it. The reason for this is that largely what the owners have submitted is that from the street the proposal will be very difficult to see. The wall will be raised a small amount towards the rear, and the roof won't be seen from most angles, and perhaps all angles, even from the... I'll withdraw that. The part of the building that's being altered has already been very much altered towards the rear. The matching terrace, the matching house as part of the forms, part of the semi, has already been also changed in the way that is now proposed in this application. So in a sense, the horse is bolted on retaining the original form of both the houses. The only concern the panel had, I think, was that the surviving fabric, original fabric in the front part of the house, be retained, and so we propose to submit a condition in the approval that a schedule of materials and finishes of the to be retained in the front part of the house be submitted prior to the granting of the construction certificate. So, Mr. Chairman, do you wish us to formulate these reasons for approval now, or should we do that in adjournment?
I'm thinking that probably we're better off to do it in an adjournment. And to that extent, we need the council staff to incorporate the attachment B draft conditions that they previously included. I think perhaps
could we add to that condition, add to those conditions the something to the effect that the applicant is to submit for council officer's approval a schedule of materials and finishes of both exterior and interior of the retained part of the house prior to the issue of the construction certificate?
I think that's probably possible. I think it's probably appropriate if we adjourn briefly so that the staff can update us on the draft conditions that were in the report and perhaps attach them to a final decision that we might make. Are the panel members happy with that procedure?
Yes.
Yes? Thank you. We'll adjourn briefly. I would think 10 to 15 minutes at most, and we'll come back with our final decision on this matter. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I resume the panel meeting today at 3:36 p.m. And the panel has adjourned to debate item 4 on the agenda at 37 John Street, Petersham. But the panel has come to a decision, and I believe it was unanimous.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Kat? Unanimous?
Sorry, agreed.
Thank you. So I'll now read the decision. The panel disagrees with the findings contained in the assessment report and resolve that the application be approved. It is therefore resolved that the application be approved subject to the conditions contained in attachment B of the report, subject to the following changes. The applicant has made a written request pursuant to clause 4.6 of the Marrickville Local Environmental Plan 2011 in support of the contravention of the development standards for 4.4 floor space ratio and 4.3 height of buildings. After considering the request and assuming the concurrence of the secretary has been given, the panel is satisfied that compliance with the standard is unnecessary in the circumstances of the case and that there are sufficient environmental grounds, and the proposed development will be in the public interest because the exceedance is not inconsistent with the objectives of the standard and the zone in which the development is located. The Inner West Local Planning Panel, acting as the consent authority pursuant to clause 4.6 of the Environmental Planning Assessment Act 79, grant consent to development application number DA 20 1 0008-00051.01 to demolish part of the premises and carry out first and second floor alterations and additions to a dwelling house. The reasons for the approval are: one, the rear part of the dwelling has been greatly changed or is of recent construction. Two, the proposed rear roof slopes will not be seen. Three, the matching semi-detached house at number 39 John Street has been greatly changed already. Four, the wall extension of the proposal at the rear will hardly be seen from the street. Five, the citation for the Heritage Conservation Area, being the Petersham South Norwood Estate, HCA number 18, notes that there is a high diversity of building forms within the area and the proposal will not have a detrimental impact to the heritage significance of the place. The panel agrees the amenity impacts on the neighbouring properties will be acceptable, and accordingly the panel concludes that the proposal would not create more than a minimal detrimental impact. As I said, the decision of the panel is unanimous. And that concludes item four. We now move on to item five, which is...
Excuse me, yes. Mr. Chairman, I just want you to see if the condition about the schedule of materials and finishes is included.
In attachment B?
Yes.
I believe we decided that would happen, but we haven't called it out, have we? So, to be included in attachment B of the report, which is the conditions of approval, just say the words again, Mr. Stapleton.
A schedule of finishes and materials is to be submitted for the approval of Council's heritage. I think we'll get modify this when it gets down. Submitted I think after the word materials would insert
to be retained
in the front section of the building.
Is to be submitted to and approved by Council's heritage specialist prior to the issue of a construction certificate. Is the panel happy with that condition?
We could change A to the...
After schedule of finishes and materials to be retained in the front section of the building, that's not correct.
I'll just say what you're concerned about on my...
I think the words after a schedule of finishes and materials, these words, to be retained in the front section of the building, I don't think that reads correctly. I don't think that's the intention of the condition.
That are to be retained.
Okay. Yep.
You happy?
Yes.
Thank you. Well, that condition is an addendum to Part B conditions of the panel's decision on item four. Thank you. We'll now turn to item five, which is DA 2017-00488.01, 44-46 Princes Highway, St. Peter's. Now, we do have some persons to address the panel here. I have quite a few people, actually. I'll take them in the order in which they're here. David Stewart, are you present? Would you like to come forward, please? And state your name.
Yeah, my name is David Stewart. I live in Unit 2962 Princes Highway. Firstly, I'd like to thank the planning panel for visiting my property today and discussing my concerns. Here we are again discussing the same development application. The way I see it, wasting more council resources, my time to take that I have to take off work, and creating all the submissions I have to submit to council to object again. The Inner West Council's website page for the Inner West Planning Panel and the notice sent to all the people that have submitted an objection states that all decisions made by the panel are final. If that is the case, why are we here discussing this development application again? This submission is purely to remove conditions placed on development by the previous Inner West Planning Panel meeting. Lost my place, sorry. And if is this a case of resubmitting until the current residents give up, or hoping that a new planning panel members eventually will change their mind on this decision? I'm not against a development being built next door to my apartment, but I do object to this development being built at the height it is currently being applied for because of the following reasons. The height exceeds both buildings the maximum height of the Marrickville Environmental Plan 2011. Parkside apartments utilise roof space of privately owned terraces which are used as living space. The current development application towers over our rooftop terraces, which creates shadowing, reduced privacy and impacts the quality of our life. Due to our rooftop terraces being the way they are, they must be considered as a balcony, and the current development does not allow for sufficient setback from the rooftop terraces in accordance with the DCPs. The current development also blocks current views of the Sydney Park, which I currently enjoy from Unit 29, which I know we discussed last planning meeting, and I understand that I don't own the views, but I would like to raise that. I'd also like to mention in the previous panel meeting, I purchased the property 2.5 years ago doing research, knowing that the height limitations were set and nothing could be built. Well, I believe that nothing could be built over top of the current building that is on Bowen Park Road in accordance with the environmental plan. This is clearly being ignored in this development application. As I raised today during the visit, the Princess Highway building does not maintain a reasonable setback from our rooftop terraces with a wall that's approximately one level high, which is literally right at the side of our rooftop terraces. If this is allowed, at least the conditions applied by the Inner West Planning Panel previously must be upheld. I understand and agree with the development as long as it follows the DCPs, the height limitations and environmental control plans and the conditions that have been placed on by the panel. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the panel members?
No questions.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for your time, Gus.
I've got just one, Mr. Stewart. When we were at your deck and I was looking at the plans, it seemed to me that according to the documents, the wall it's beside the people next to you,
yeah,
isn't
28,
it?
Correct.
28.
Which he's here today too to talk to you.
Yes, that's right. That section of the building is actually below the height limit by some 3 metres.
Yes,
the
bit on the top of that building does exceed. There is a section that does exceed, which is on top of the building. Problem that I had with the front building is basically a set. There is no setback. That has also been approved.
Yeah.
So we are also here discussing the conditions, as far as I'm aware.
Yes.
But the reason I raise it is because I believe that there is no setback from our building we've got rooftop terraces and a public area that is accessible by the whole building with a wall that's directly, boom, there. There's no setback, I can't even express,
right.
Maybe like a stepping up of the buildings as such. It's just a wall.
Right. But,
and
but
I feel like that should be taken into account.
Yes. Okay. But I just want to be sure that on the drawings that I've got, beside unit number 28, the proposal is 2.83 metres lower than the height limit at that point. It's really at the other end of the building on the Barwon Avenue side where it's exceeding
the 17 metres, correct.
Limit. Yes.
And that's why I'm here, just to support the conditions that were placed in the previous, which I thought were very fair and reasonable.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Now, next, I have Nathaniel Salita of Unit 28, I think it is. Thank you. If you'd state your name, please.
Hi, Nathaniel Salita. I probably won't speak for 3 minutes because these guys are going to get a lot more technical than I am.
Yes. No, I think we went to your deck.
I was going to thank you for that as well.
Yes. Mr. Stewart took us there.
And so obviously you understand that I too have a problem with the wall, but that is part of the planning that has been approved, and that's fair enough. I want to talk a little bit about what Dave spoke. I know you don't want people to repeat themselves, but I want to ask you guys a question, and that question is, am I allowed to ask you guys a question?
Well, we'll consider it, yes.
Is your decision final?
No. I'm sorry, but yes and no. They still have the right to appeal to the Land and Environment Court of New South Wales.
Do we have the right to appeal?
Not usually. Yours would be a third-party appeal, and I think you'd have to take your own legal advice on whether or not you'd have grounds for that.
I was just interested, that's all.
Well, I think that's the answer as far as I can give it.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Okay, no problems.
Right.
My point being, as Dave said, I don't really know what we're doing here because I believed, as it says on your website, that your decisions are final, yet for some reason we're here again, and as Dave said, how many times are we going to have to come back and state our case? And I think it's kind of unfair that we wouldn't have the right to appeal. So I think that is a little bit unfair. And I'm sort of more talking from the rest of the people who couldn't be here today. Like I said, they're going to get technical. I just think that are the developers just going to keep going and keep going and keep going until you guys change your mind, or until... Yeah, we sell up and move on, kind of thing. As far as the technical side of things, I don't really understand why they would be able to go above the height limitations. It doesn't. The height limitations are there for a reason. Why? Why should some people be allowed to and some people not? And also, the from what I understand, the new barbecue deck area, which was not going to be a barbecue deck area, I don't know if how much you guys know, but generally that deck area is going to look straight across into my apartment, into Dave's apartment, into everybody's apartment, into their front lounges. I'm not even talking about the rooftops. I'm talking it's above and it looks down and it'll look straight into everyone's apartment. I don't see how that can be... I was going to say fair. I don't see how that can be even legal. Like, obviously there's going to be plenty of barbecues there. There's, 50, 60, 70 apartments. There's going to be a barbecue there every weekend. There's going to be barbecues there every night. And all they're going to be doing is looking into our apartments. Yes. They've got direct line of sight straight across. And I don't really understand why council would approve that. I understand why you guys said no, because it's pretty obvious to me. But I don't really understand why council would suddenly turn around and say, no, we don't agree with that. So thank you very much.
All right. Just a minute. I think the area you're talking about on the plans is called the outdoor common area.
Correct.
And it's on level 3 in the plans, and it's on the Bowen Park Road side. I'm just looking at the plan now, and it's got quite wide planter boxes all around the perimeter.
That's lovely.
I would say it's 3 metres wide facing towards your apartment. And I would imagine the landscape plan would provide that
they would use the cheapest plants possible, to be perfectly frank.
Well, I hope not. I hope
I hope they don't either, but that's not really what we're here arguing. Yeah. What I'm saying is planter boxes, and I don't mean to be rude in any way, shape or form, planter boxes or not planter boxes, you're going to be able to see into our apartments. You can put a forest there if you want. You still have a direct line of sight into our apartment. That was never part of the plans. It was, you guys said it shouldn't be part of the plans, and I would hate to think that approximately 30 apartments are going to be protected by a few planter boxes.
I don't think that they couldn't possibly see all 30 apartments, but
you'd be surprised. They'd
probably be able to see the ones above the level of at level 3.
Well, I think they'd be able to see maybe not all 30, but they'd be able to see a lot of them.
Yes, all right. Well, now, of course, as you know, that's not the subject of this application. The only question that's being asked in this application is about removal of the original conditions on the consent that exists already.
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
But those conditions, as I understand it, what the panel first made an adjudication on.
Yes, it is.
Not to have that as a barbecue area. Am I incorrect? That was supposed to be a green roof or something like that.
Well, look, I don't understand.
A non